Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Mr. Cushing's office? No, I'm sorry. He left yesterday for Paris. I'm not sure. Probably by the end of the week. Yes, I'll tell him, of course. Goodbye.
Wrong, Gloria.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Cushing.
You're such a superb secretary. I thought you never made a mistake. Tony will not be back for at least 2 weeks.
Then I was in error.
You're a smart girl, Gloria. I like you.
Thank you.
I'm probably the only woman in this city who does admire her husband's attractive secretary. By the way, here are my Christmas bills.
Is that all, Mrs. Cushing?
Well, they're quite enough, don't you think? Oh, and darling, the monthly deposit is in my bank account, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I attended that myself.
You're a dear, efficient girl. Now, I wonder if you could do me a teeny little favor.
If I can.
I met that charming young woman, Mrs. Wakefield, at Holly Benson's anniversary party, and I've lost her address. I'm sure you have it.
I'll look, Mrs. Cushing.
I know you have her telephone number.
Didn't Mrs. Benson have it?
Gloria, may I have Kate Wakefield's address?
Yes, Mrs. Cushing. It's here.
Thank you. Studio Club? Where on earth is that?
Uptown near the university campus, I believe.
I thought Mrs. Wakefield had her own apartment.
Oh, no.
Well, I wonder why not.
I can't tell you that.
Have you met her, Gloria?
No, I've never seen her.
Well, she's been in here to Tony's office, hasn't she?
No.
Well, how extraordinary. But you've talked to her.
Once or twice.
Oh, come, Gloria. We're both women of the world. She calls Tony a great deal, doesn't she?
No. She never calls.
Well, but you do have a number for her.
It's there with the address.
And she has a business address?
I don't feel at liberty to give that out.
Well, I'll ask her when I see her. It's not important. Such an interesting girl. And a young widow. Pity. Life is very difficult sometimes.
It is if you make it so.
Gloria, darling, let me tell you something. Life is only interesting when it is difficult. I personally adore a challenge.
Mr. Cushing is the same way.
Yes. Well, I have an appointment. Nice to see you, Gloria.
Nice to see you, Mrs. Cushing.
I'm sorry I kept you waiting, Stephen. Come in.
Oh, it was such a nice, expensive lobby to have to wait in.
Well, it's pleasanter to talk here in my suite.
You're not sure yet that you like being seen with me in public, is that it?
I'm sure I shall someday, when this mysterious fortune comes to you.
You asked me to come here, Claire. What did you want?
You're as changeable as a chameleon, Stephen. One day you're on top of the world with your big future, and the next you're like a surly dog who's lost his bone.
I wouldn't allow anybody else on earth to say that to me.
Oh, of course not. But you have to put up with me, don't you, darling? Because I do pay you for legal advice. Who else does?
What do you want to know, Claire?
Well, it's hardly legal advice, but I will pay a fee. Would you like a drink?
No, I don't think so now.
All right, then we'll get to business. It's about Kate Wakefield.
What about her?
You've known her a long time, haven't you?
I told you how I knew her. I did some legal work for her late husband, Tom.
Who had a drug problem.
Yes.
I believe he trafficked in drugs, sold them or something. Now, I told that to Tony, and he didn't care.
Claire, you talk too much.
I beg your pardon?
You talk too much.
Stephen, I will say what I wish at any time. You forget who you are.
You're a very foolish woman, Claire. I know what you want. You want Kate out of Tony's life.
She is an absolute disaster for him. That drug business...
If he knows about it, isn't that his worry?
Look, Stephen, I intend to see Kate and find out just what she's after. Now, he can't marry her. I won't divorce him. So what does she want? Money? I want to talk to her. And before I do, I want to know everything I can about her.
You won't learn it from me, Claire.
But, Stephen, you know...
I know a great many things, Claire, but I've never yet trusted a woman with them.
My, you really are in a mood, my pet, aren't you?
I've advised you to sit tight and do nothing. If you insist on seeing Kate, you'll only send Tony to a rescue. But if you leave the matter to me...
I have for weeks, and what's happened? Tony seems to be actually falling in love with her. Imagine, he's nearly 40.
Claire, you're making a mistake.
My mistake was talking to you. I intend to see Kate. She doesn't sound like a girl who'd want to take another woman's husband. Now, does she?
Tony, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can. With Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Does Kate usually work this late, Trudy?
Oh, traffic's slow tonight. With all the snow. Well, there's nobody here in the coffee shop. Give her a little more time, David.
I've got the time, but she has a date.
Well, I'm sure she hasn't. She did have one appointment.
You're not telling. I'm not asking.
It was sort of a business matter, I think.
You're a good friend of Kate, aren't you?
I hope so.
Is she happy down here in the city?
Oh, sure. She loves her job.
Yeah, well, that's not quite the same thing.
Right.
I saw her at Christmas time. She seemed distracted.
She's got a lot on her mind.
You don't have to answer this, Trudy, but I know her pretty well. I don't want to see her make another mistake.
Like what?
The wrong guy. Now, look, I have no axe to grind. I'm not the right man. I realized that some time ago. When a girl like Kate has grown up in a small town, lived in it all her life, married, and stayed right on in it, she's got to get out of it someday. Me, I'm Mr. Belhaven.
You make Belhaven look pretty good, David.
Thank you. But I have seen a lot of the world. I was born in the West. I went to NAM. I worked for a newspaper chain that sent me all over. I finally found what I wanted, a small newspaper in a good town.
Are you going to own it someday?
I hope Henry never retires. But if he even makes me the offer, I'll take it. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, Trudy.
I guess I must be a good listener.
You are. But that's why Kate and I wouldn't make it. She needs the world. I've had it. But if I'm not the guy for her, neither is Tony Cushing. Is she seeing him?
I don't keep track.
You don't have to. You know.
David.
Oh, sure. It's bigger than both of them.
No. It's bigger than both of us.
That's the nicest way I've ever been told to mind my own business.
Oh, there's Kate now in the lobby.
I guess you've told me everything I wanted to know.
You wait a minute, David. I'll get her. Dave?
Oh, hi, Trudy.
Hey, look who's in the coffee shop.
David! Of all people.
Hello, Kate.
Am I glad to see you. Hey, how long have you been here, David?
Your friend Trudy took me in hand.
Bless her heart. Well, have you eaten?
No. Have you?
No.
If you have the time.
Me? I'm home. You still have a long drive, David.
That's right, you are home. Well, let's sit down again, unless you have another choice.
No, this is fine. What brought you into the city?
Meeting of local editors. They do it twice a year. Henry likes me to show.
How is everything in Bellhaven?
Are you being polite, or do you really want to know?
Now, that's not fair.
No, it isn't. I don't get a chance to see you very often. I don't like to load you down with Bellhaven problems. But we've got one.
What?
Little Nancy.
Why, what's happened?
Remember you told me that she was taking some kind of a typing course?
Oh, yes. She wants a job on your paper.
She told me. We've already had to let a girl go who needed the job. Things are not good, no matter what the politicians like to say. We can't take her on right now.
Well, she can understand that.
She took it personally. You know what she said? If I don't want her on the paper, she'd go live it up. She's the kind of crazy kid who might.
Maybe if I talk to her.
You're the only one who can, Kate.
Well, I could come up to Bellhaven this weekend.
That'd be great.
Kate?
Yes?
Telephone for you. It's a Mrs. Cushing.
Mrs. Cushing?
What's going on, Kate?
Excuse me, David, will you?
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
My greetings to you, ladies and gentlemen. Since of late confession seems the order of the day in Vanity Fair, the author, myself, makes a confession of his own. Almost I took the coward's way and did not come to you this day. The complexities, perplexities, intricacies, meanderings, and entanglements of this novel have tied it into such a gordian knot that almost I am at a loss to know how to untie it. I've remarked in the past that upon occasion, Becky Sharp disobeys my intent and goes her own way. Then, let her do so now. Solve her multiple problems on her own, and spare me the trouble. I doubt she will, for Becky herself is in disarray, neither thinking straight nor behaving sensibly. Listen again to her words to Giles when last we saw her.
Rawdon was to come to me this morning by 10. It's gone 11:30. Where, please, is my new husband? Has he left me because I've no dowry? Did he love me last night and jilt me this morning? Oh, everything else has gone wrong. Why not this, too?
The clock now reads 12:30. Becky has sent Giles to Rawdon's flat to learn what can be wrong. Only just now, Giles has returned to her mistress, pacing her room in ferment.
Giles, quick, what news?
Mr. Rawdon wasn't there, Miss Becky, and his men aren't there. I knocked and I rang and I called out, but no one come to the door.
Oh, but that means he's at the barracks. He was sent for and had to go. You should have gone there.
I did.
Well?
He ain't there either.
He has to be.
He ain't.
Then where is he? What did they tell you?
Not they, miss. A guard at the gates. I said I'd need to speak with Captain Crawley. Captain ain't here, he says. Be on your way, girl, and he'd say no more.
Oh, dear, not at his flat, not at the barracks, not here. Giles, what can it mean?
I couldn't rightly say no more than you, but it do look queer.
Not even a note to me saying why, sending his love, nothing. Oh, my, could it possibly mean that last night, our wedding night, was not what he dreamed it would be? And oh, dear, just bear thinking about it.
And you'd oughtn't to think it. Look, I can't answer no other questions, but I certain sure can answer that one. No, ma'am. Mrs. Crawley. It don't mean last night wasn't what he dreamed.
Oh, Mrs. Crawley.
You'd ought to know that better than anyone.
Oh, I thought I did know, but now all is mixed up. I don't know anything.
I know. I've seen him this morning when he brung us home. If ever I've seen a man happy, 'twas him.
Happy then? Yes, I know. Oh, I know. And now he's had time to think and be sorry we married.
Oh, stop it, Miss Becky. He ain't sorry. How could he be?
The same way I am. We should have waited. Everything's in a muddle because we didn't.
He don't know that.
He could have found out.
How?
Well, I don't know how. Oh, yes, I do know how. When Sir Pitt left this morning, he could have met Rawdon coming in and said what he believes, that I'm married to Gordy, that Miss Crawley knows it. Don't you see? Rawdon could know the facts in the fire. If that's it, why isn't he here to help me? Oh, has he run away?
Miss Becky, he ain't like that.
How do we know what he's like at a time like this? Look what I'm like. All his cross purposes, no good at all. Oh, Lord, there's Miss Crawley again. I put her off all morning, said I needed sleep after last night's dance. Now she won't let me off anymore. I'm bound to go to her. She'll talk about Sir Pitt and Gordy, and I can't bear it. Oh, Lord, and where are you?
Dear, I wonder where Rawdon is. I so hoped he'd call by this morning. I cannot wait to tell him that his papa proposed to you. Did he say he'd come round today?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, try to remember, dear. You're very lumpish all of a sudden. Earlier on, you were, I told you, radiant. I've never seen you prettier or brighter than when first you came to me this morning. And now you seem, depressed, yes.
Oh, I have a most excruciating headache.
Headache or no, why should Sir Pitt's proposal depress you? I should think you'd be amused, the old fuddy. Fancy his thinking a pretty young creature like you would bed with him.
Oh, Sir Pitt meant well, Miss Crawley.
Tra-la, he did not mean well. 3 days after her ladyship's demise, he is clamoring for the favors of Miss Becky Sharp. Oh, I cannot wait to tell Rawdon. Now, did he say he was coming round?
Oh, yes, he did. I remember well at 10.
10? Then where is he?
I don't know.
Oh, don't sound so cranky about it. Becky, did you and Rawdon have words? I know you're not the best of friends, but did you quarrel?
No, the plague upon Rawdon, Miss Crawley.
You did?
No, we didn't. It's a beastly headache. Oh, no, please let me go and lie down.
But I want to talk of your Gordy and what we're to do to bring him back to your arms. That will cure your headache.
No, please, not now, not Gordy. Please, dear Miss Crawley.
But I want to help, dear. You didn't marry Pitt because you adore your soldier. You might have been wealthy, might have been your ladyship. But you sacrificed all for Private Gordy. Oh, how touching is true love. And I mean to see from now on, its course runs smooth.
Oh, no, indeed, Becky is not doing well on her own. Hardly recognizable. Dear listeners, you may think it unfeeling of me, but I am weary of disaster. Let us now leave her tumult and go where the atmosphere will surely be more serene. To Amelia Sedley, what a relief to be with winsome, peaceable Emmy. But first I'll have a spot of tea. You as well. Then return.
Captain William Dobbin welcomes any excuse to call upon Miss Amelia Sedley, and this day has found one. Hopkins just has shown him into the morning room, where Emmy, as usual, is mooning over that scoundrel, George Osborne.
Why, Captain Dobbin, what a surprise.
I know. You would I were George. May I say I, too, wish I were George, Miss Emmy?
But I'm very glad to see George's dearest friend.
Very kindly put, and I thank you. I've brought a message, that is, a letter.
Oh, how wonderful. I'm more than ever glad to see you. Every day I write George, but he almost never writes to me. And now a letter by hand. Oh, I do thank you.
Oh, what a clumsy fellow I am. Should have said straight off it ain't from George.
Not from... But who then? Who else would write to me?
Captain Rawdon Crawley.
Rawdon?
Saw him in the mess room early on, very early. I happened to say I'd be in these parts today. Asked me to bring this round. Special favor, he said.
But I don't understand. Why would Rawdon... To me, not to Becky.
Perhaps if you read it.
Oh. Oh, yes. But it does seem so odd. I hardly know Captain Crawley. We only just... No, not odd. How silly I am. He's politely written to say he regrets he couldn't stay at my party last night, of course.
Oh, very likely, I'm sure. Then again, perhaps not. Would it not solve all if you read it?
Oh, it would, wouldn't it? Papa says I rattle like Mama. Do you think I rattle? Oh, don't answer. I'll read the letter and you'll see I'm right. My dear Miss Emmy, I would be most humbly and eternally grateful if you, at your earliest convenience, would personally take the enclosed letter to... Oh, he sent a letter for Becky.
I say, why didn't the fellow send it direct?
Well, he... See, it's a very... What shall I say? It's a very secret... No. I oughtn't to say anything. You see, I'm not free to explain, Captain.
Oh, no need, Miss Emmy.
Becky is my dearest friend, just as George is yours, and I must keep her confidence.
Now, of course. But look here. Can I be of assistance? I've me carriage outside. Captain Crawley seemed most anxious and in a hurry. May I take you to Miss Sharp?
Oh, thank you, yes.
Good. Oh, dress warmly, please. It's deuced cold.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear.
Now, something wrong?
Do you think George would mind my driving with you?
George? No, Miss Emmy. I expect George would not trust any other man with you. Jealous. Knock the chap down. Make all manner of fuss. But old Dobbin? Would he were jealous of me and had reason. But alas, he's not and hasn't. Shall we be off?
A letter from Rawdon to his bride? Why sent to Emmy? And why not Rawdon in person? On Monday, you and Becky shall have the answers, dear listeners. Today, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I am your ever devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O'Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O'Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. O'Cedar makes your life easier.
What's the matter with you? You keep tossing and turning and grabbing the bedclothes. I can't get to sleep.
I'm sorry.
You got something on your mind?
Yes, since you asked.
What?
Never mind.
Now, come on, what is it?
Now, look, if we start talking, we'll never get to sleep.
Oh, if you have something on your mind, let's hear it.
You have to go to work tomorrow. Forget it.
No, I don't. It's Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Honey?
Forget it.
No. No, I'm not going to forget it. I want to know what's on your mind. Obviously, you're upset about something.
What's the same thing?
Same thing as what?
It's what we were discussing the last 2 days.
And what is that?
Oh, how can you ask?
Honey, I honestly do not know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the fact that you do not want to wear your wedding ring any longer.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Will you go to sleep?
No. You have not satisfactorily explained to me why you suddenly find your wedding ring some kind of a chain or a burden or a trap.
I never said that wearing my wedding ring was a chain or a burden or a trap.
Good night.
No, no. Now, darn it, don't start something like this and suddenly say good night.
Well, you don't want to discuss it.
Well, it's after midnight.
I know, so why discuss it?
I don't want to discuss it. I simply want to reiterate. Oh, boy, that's a good word. I do want to reiterate that I do not find being married to you a chain or a burden or a trap.
Well, you thought so yesterday. You have some of the blanket. You seem to have it all on your side.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here. Honey? Sweetheart.
Calling me honey and sweetheart does not mitigate, and that's a good word, too, does not mitigate the fact that you stated yesterday you really did not want to wear a wedding ring any longer.
Look, I put it on again, didn't I? I agreed to wear it.
That's hardly the same thing.
All right. It's not the same thing, but I also agreed to discuss the matter, and you did not want to discuss it any further, is the way you put it.
How can I discuss it any further, Anne? What was the point of discussing it any further? You just said point blank. You did not want to wear your wedding ring.
I did not say any such thing.
You didn't say it. That's what you meant.
Honey, look, you've got it all mixed up. Now, please, why don't we go to sleep and discuss it in the morning, huh?
Fine. Good night. Please do not put your cold feet on my back.
All right. Just want to cuddle.
I don't want to cuddle.
Honey?
I don't want to cuddle. I don't really want to sleep with you. Anybody who feels that he's trapped because he wears a wedding ring, I mean...
I never said I felt trapped.
Trapped. That was the word you used. Trapped.
Well, I didn't mean it.
Well, what did you mean?
Oh,
I don't want to discuss it now. It's midnight. Let's go to sleep.
Fine.
What did you mean? Trapped.
I thought you didn't want to discuss it.
Turn on the light.
Honey, sweetheart.
Why don't you want to wear your wedding ring anymore?
I didn't say I didn't, but I did say that it's not the thing to do anymore. Times have changed. Hey, don't turn on the light. Golly.
What here. Times have changed?
Honey.
No, don't please. Honey me. I mean, what times have changed? Because some of the teenage fellows in your office have asked you why you wear a wedding ring. You don't have the gumption to say that, yes, you do think it's nice for a man to wear a wedding ring. Wearing one makes you feel like an old fuddy-duddy, is that it?
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't so many words, you did.
Oh, okay, so the young married men these days are not wearing wedding rings.
You're trying to keep up with the younger men, is that it?
No, it's just, yeah. Look, we went all through this before we were married 6 million years ago, and now we're having it all over again, aren't we?
Seems like 6 million years ago to you since we were married.
I'm only saying that... why go on?
Good night. Turn off the light.
Honey.
Why is wearing a wedding ring such a big thing? I mean, I don't get it.
It isn't. Or rather, why do you women make it such a big thing?
Turn on the light. Okay. Turn back on. We women make wearing a big thing, as you put it, for you men because we want you to wear a wedding ring. Because we want all the women who meet you in business, to which we wives have no access every day, we want those business women to know you're married. And if you don't wear a wedding ring, how will they know?
How will they know what?
Whether you're married or not.
What does it matter?
Oh, come on.
No. What does it matter?
What does it matter? Whether the women you meet in business know if you're married or not?
Yeah.
You being naive or just plain stupid, or are you joking?
Look, I don't have any romantic interest in the women I meet in business, and while I have no objection to anyone knowing I'm married, I just don't see that a man should have to advertise the fact. I think you wives want your husbands to wear a wedding ring just so other women won't make passes at him. Hey, where are you going?
Into the guest room.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
No, I don't want to be in the same bed with you. I don't even want to talk to you. A wife wants her husband to wear a wedding ring as a sign of their mutual love and commitment, as they say today.
Look, no. I am wearing my wedding ring. I put it on.
Well, I am taking mine off. There. Good night.
Oh, sweetheart, this is ridiculous. Look, you'll have to fuss with sheets and pillowcases in the guest room and making up the bed.
I'll take the electric blanket, thank you.
Hey!
Good night.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hey, will you open up this door? You hear me?
Daddy, what's the matter? It's nearly 2 a.m.
Oh, Debbie, please, go back to bed. This doesn't concern you.
Well, who's in the guest room?
Your mother.
Why?
Well, she's mad at me. Peg!
You're not getting a divorce, are you?
What? A divorce? Oh, certainly not. What's the matter with you? Peg, now, will you open this door and tell your daughter we're not getting divorced? Can't Mother and I have a discussion without everybody...
What is all this? What's all this about a divorce? That's the second time you've said that to us this week, Debbie.
Well, you're having all these fights.
Fights?
What? Who's having any fights? I never had a fight with your mother in my life. Discussions is what we have. It's discussions.
Debbie, dear, go to bed. Now, come on, I'll tuck you in. Daddy, come on along. We'll tuck you in and kiss you goodnight, huh?
Oh, I'm a little old for that.
Oh, never too old for that. Come on now. Climb in.
She's so sleepy. She looks more like 6 years old instead of 16.
Daddy, I'm trying to look 20.
Good night, darling. Now you sleep tight. I'll close your door, Debbie.
Good night, Debbie girl. Now go to sleep. You hear?
Okay, Daddy.
I think that's terrible. Are today's children so insecure? Why should Debbie immediately think divorce?
Well, the parents of two of her best friends recently got divorced. The Whatleys and the Cronstadts.
Candy and Roy are divorced?
Mm-hmm.
When?
Last week, I guess. Candy took off for Reno some time ago.
I can't believe
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. Candy and Roy Whatley divorced?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of all the people we know, I would have said there was a marriage made in heaven. It seemed absolutely perfect. Roy was just crazy about Candy. What happened?
Roy wants to marry his secretary. No, not his secretary, somebody else's secretary, but in the same company. And that man was furious because he'd been carrying on with the secretary, too, and he complained and Roy lost his job. Roy's 42, by the way, and his cute little secretary is 19.
Oh. Lost his job.
Lost his job.
A time to lose your job.
Right.
What's Roy going to do?
Get married to his little bundle of fluff, I guess.
Okay. I'm getting the message. Here's your wedding ring. Now, you put it back on. I'm wearing mine, and I will continue to wear it. Now, get back into bed, and I'll retrieve the electric blanket from the guest room.
Oh, I've got the bed already made up, Dana.
Forget it. You're coming back to our bedroom. Now, let's not get Debbie upset again over nothing.
Oh, I guess it is nothing. Still, I prefer you to wear a wedding ring. I'll admit it now. May not scare the ladies away, but at least it makes them think twice.
It makes me think twice, too, when I think of Roy losing his job.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Mm.
Well, girl, let's get some sleep if we can, anyhow.
Mm. Remember the day we bought our rings? Never forget it. I was standing on the corner of Oak and Sixth, waiting for you. You were late as usual. Remember how self-conscious we felt walking into the jewelry store, remember?
Oh, yes. And the clerk referred to us as a happy couple, or was it lovebirds? Something like that. It was so embarrassing. How embarrassing.
That jewelry store wasn't on Oakland 6th, though.
Yes, it was.
No.
Right on the corner.
No. That was where we looked for my engagement ring. We got our wedding rings at Betcher and Hines Jewelry, which was on Park, which is where I had my silver and gem china pattern.
Betcher and Hines wasn't on Park.
Yes, it was. I don't know. No. I was in there often enough. Oh, I know what you're thinking of.
No, I know exactly what I'm thinking of. Betcher and Hines at the corner.
No, dear.
At the corner of Oak Avenue and 6th Street.
No, dear, I know what you're thinking of. You're thinking
I wish you would please stop telling me what I'm thinking of. You always do that. I know exactly what I'm thinking
of. Well, honey,
Daddy, what's the matter?
Oh, Debbie, go to sleep. It's just a discussion. It is not a fight. Okay?
Okay.
Betcher and Hines was at the corner of Oak and 6th.
Keep your voice down.
Betcher and Hines was at the corner of Oak and 6th, and I'll tell you how I know.
Darling, you have never had a sense of direction.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Jason, Trish said you just got in.
Yes, come on in, Marsh.
Well, first, do me a favor, will you, Jason?
Well, sure, Marsh.
Call the switchboard. Tell him you've gone for the day, will you?
Well, why? What's the matter?
Please do it. Then I'll tell you.
Well, I just got in.
And you just left. Here.
Okay. Oh, hello, Millie. This is Dr. Carter. I'm leaving for the day. Well, you can refer any calls to Dr. Foster. Oh, he's gone, too. Well, all right, I'll call in. You left, too.
That's right. Jason, Emily's been to see Zabo.
What? What happened?
She made her own appointment.
Well, how did you find out? What did he tell... You know, I should have known something like this would happen. Where is she now, Marsh?
She's probably just left his office. Now, Jason, please, just relax for a minute. Do me a favor. Sit down.
Marsh, where is she?
She's probably on her way home.
Well, I've got to get to her.
Would you wait a minute?
Now, you told me to cut off my calls. What if she's trying to reach me now?
Jason, she doesn't know any more right now than she did before she went.
What are you talking about?
I called Zabo when I found out Emily was seeing him. I told him what the situation was, and he said he would tell her nothing and refer her back to me.
Poor Emily.
Yeah.
Another evasion, another runaround.
Well, you didn't want him to tell her, did you?
No, of course not. Look, Marsh, Zabo had to tell us something. He knew why she was there.
He made it a professional matter, Jace. He said I was her doctor and he had reported to me and, well, finally, just she'd have to see me.
And you're not taking any phone calls.
Jason, if she called me, I would have had to tell her.
What, on the phone? You tell her she has a brain tumor and is going to die? You tell her that on the phone?
Come on, Jason. I didn't mean I'd tell her then. But I'd have to admit I had the diagnosis, and she'd probably guess it was serious.
And you don't think she's figured that out for herself by now?
Well, I didn't know what else I could do. I was trying to buy some time. You said that you're telling her tonight, so you still tell her.
But she knows now. Or certainly suspects that you've known something all along and didn't tell her.
Yeah.
How did you find out she was seeing Szabo?
Angela told me.
Angela? Did she put Emily up to that?
Oh, no, I don't think so. They had lunch together today, and Emily told Angela that she had the appointment.
Then Angela has to know that we haven't leveled with Emily.
Not quite. It seems somehow that Angela assumed I had made the appointment for Emily and that everything was finally proceeding the way it should.
Oh, God, what a mess. If I only could have told her, Marsh.
Oh, well, Jason, you didn't for valid reasons. Jennifer's accident and Christmas.
Yes, yes, it was right then, but now... Oh, what are we talking about, Marsh? That's not the important thing.
That's right. We're more worried about justifying what we did than we are about Emily.
It still seems so unreal. She must have suspected we were hiding something from her, or she wouldn't have gone directly to Szabo.
Bobby, what kind of a milkshake is that?
Banana and wheat germ. It's very good for growing girls.
Mm-hmm.
Here, taste it, Susie.
Ugh, no thanks.
It's good for growing boys, too.
Is it any good for the brain?
Sure. If there's anything there at all for it to work on.
Funny.
Hey, listen, kiddo, you're talking to a college man.
Listen, college man, you better clean up this mess before Mom gets home.
It was your idea to make milkshakes.
You finished the whole thing.
Besides, that's woman's work.
Huh, woman's work. What do they teach you at Harvard?
Susie, what do you think's the matter with Mom now?
I don't know, Bobby. She seems okay part of the time, but I think she's worried about something.
She was worried about Jen, but now Jen's okay.
And Dad, too.
Yeah, he's got something on his mind. I tried to talk to him about transferring to Northwestern. He just said we'd talk about it later.
Mom took all those tests at the hospital, and they didn't find anything.
You think Dad's being a doctor would help?
Well, she's taking that medicine Dr. Foster gave her.
It's working okay, isn't it?
Well, she doesn't have any more headaches. I don't know.
Oh, what don't you know?
Well, her hands shake a lot, and she says they're kind of numb.
That really sounds serious.
Come on, you better clean up the mess. I'll get dinner started. Mom will be home soon. Any more dishes on the dining room table, Bobby?
That's all of them. And that's a full load anyway.
What are Mom and Dad doing?
They're having coffee in the living room.
What do you figure is going on?
I don't know, Susie. Dinner sure was a downer.
Sure was. Hey, look, let's split. Maybe they want to talk.
You think so?
I don't know what I think.
Okay.
Mom?
Yes, Susie?
Oh, Bobby and I are going over to Betsy's, okay?
Yes, dear.
Well, we'll probably go to the movies or something.
Well, don't stay out too late, honey.
Huh? Friday night, Daddy.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Well, we'll see you later. Do you want anything?
What? Oh, no. No, thanks, dear.
Okay, good night.
Night, honey.
Good night, Susie. You want some more coffee?
Hmm? Oh, no, no. Thank you, dear. I think I'll have a drink. Can I fix you one?
Just a light one.
Darling, did you think any more about Hawaii?
Yes, I did.
Well, I can arrange for a leave from Jefferson any time now.
Do you really want to go?
Yes, yes, I do, honey. We've talked about it long enough. Let's do it.
Jason, I went to see Dr. Szabo today.
You did?
You didn't know I went?
Yes, yes, Marsh told me.
Jason, what has been going on?
Now, did Dr. Szabo tell you?
Nothing. Nothing
well,
at all.
Well, then, darling.
He said I was Dr. Foster's patient and that I should get any information from him.
Well, that's the usual procedure for consultants.
And it seems Marsh must have heard something from Dr. Szabo.
Oh. Have you talked to Marsh?
I couldn't reach him. The hospital said he was gone for the day.
I see.
Jason, will you please look at me?
Yeah, yes, I'm sorry, darling.
Now, when I was in the hospital for tests, I asked Marsh to tell me what he found, if he found anything, and he promised me he would.
Yes, I know he did.
I wanted him to tell me first, Jason. I did not want to be at the bottom of the list.
Emily, darling, sometimes that's not a very realistic demand.
And why not?
Well, doctors can't always tell their patients everything.
Because of the patients? Or because the doctors just can't do it?
Well, the problem doesn't break down that easily.
Oh, Jason, what are we talking about? This isn't a philosophic discussion. We're talking about me and about you.
Yes, I know, darling, but you've been so involved with Jennifer. Marsh couldn't, or he wouldn't, interfere with that.
I know. I asked Dr. Szabo when he reported to Marsh, and he wasn't able to tell me.
Well, darling, you can't blame Marsh.
Why not? He was the one who promised
Well, it's not his fault.
So you told me. And he told you instead. Is that it?
Emily, please.
He had to tell you, of course. Of course he had to tell you. What is it, Jason? What's the matter with me?
Em. Honey, come over and sit down.
No, I want to know. I want to know now. If you won't tell me, I'll call Marsh right now.
Emily, for God's sake.
No. I've got to know.
Darling, will you
Don't
please
you see, I
put
have to know.
Down that phone. Now, come on. I'll tell you. I'll tell you everything.
And to Hold has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.